Hey everyone, welcome to Locked On Lakers for Tuesday. Brian Kamenetsky and Andy Kamenetsky. Andy, a few branches were trimmed off the Russell Westbrook trade option tree last week. What does that mean for the Lakers going forward? Just how good do they need to be coming out of this thing to make it all worth it? That's next on Locked On Lakers.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Thanks to everybody for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day, Monday through Friday, no matter how you get your podcasts, no matter where, Andy, they are always free. They are never behind a paywall, and they are always of extremely high quality because we're doing them. And Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you go to see the big show, the visual extravaganza that goes along with it. Hope you had a good Labor Day, Andy.
I did have a good Labor Day.
Excellent.
Got out of the heat. Did some ice skating. Did a little eating. It was fun.
As one does on most weekends. That's not even a holiday thing for you. Yeah, we went up north. We fled. For people who don't know, it is 763 degrees in Los Angeles this week. And so... I just left town because my AC, yes, that's what James Worthy looks like at home right now because it's just so hot.
No, I imagine James Worthy has killer AC. That was you guys at home before you realized you had to leave town.
Yeah, either one. So we left, had a nice weekend with family, but we are excited to be back. That's a live look at Los Angeles.
Yep, that's what Los Angeles looks like right now.
Elmo, just
fire.
Flames behind him. Everything's on fire. So Jeannie Buss said some interesting stuff about tanking and the idea of tanking. I mean, I'm literally sweating during the show with sweat beads rolling off my head. It is 8 o'clock at night. It's like, that's what we're dealing with right now. So we'll get to Jeannie talking a little bit about tanking. We'll get to a few other interesting things that came out of Andy's week doing 710 ESPN, a lot of Lakers subjects that came up there, but let's start with this. We haven't had a chance to really talk about this. The Donovan Mitchell thing is done. It has happened. So now both major things that we are waiting for, a resolution to Kevin Durant has happened, and a resolution to the Donovan Mitchell thing has happened, Andy. And none of those things resulted in the Lakers being involved in either one of those trades.
No,
there have been trades as it was.
Right. There had been some hope that with Donovan Mitchell presumably going to the Knicks, the Lakers could get involved as a third team to try to facilitate it. It turns out that the Jazz called the Knicks bluff after they had extended RJ Barrett, making it more difficult to get involved with this. There have been apparently been a lot of acrimony throughout the course of this, going back to, I think, when a bunch of Jazz execs or a bunch of Knicks execs, I should say, decided to watch the Jazz Mavericks playoff game ostensibly to support Julius Randle, but really to recruit the hell out of Jalen Brunson.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of set things on a bad path. But anyway, the Cavaliers snuck in, as everybody knows, got Donovan Mitchell, and it leaves the Lakers in a place where Utah's flotsam and jetsam, you know, the supporting cast around them, because now they're in just complete tank mode, could be available to them. But there could conceivably be a lot more players now in the game with the Lakers not
coming to sort of pick by not being involved directly in the deal. Because it turns out Cleveland and Utah apparently don't need the Lakers' help. So by not being involved in the Cleveland Utah transaction, it means the Jazz can, like you say, sort of, you know, send Bogdanovich here, send Clarkson there, send Conley over here. You don't have to send any one guy in any one place, and you don't also necessarily need to acquire Russell Westbrook. So here's how I look at this. Like I mentioned in the open, it's like branches of the Westbrook option tree are sort of being trimmed as we go through the summer and into the fall. The Brooklyn branch has been lopped off. At least one part of the Utah thing has been lopped off. So as I see it, we're kind of left with this. And you tell me if I'm missing something. There's the Indy branch, the Indiana trade, which we previewed on Friday show. If you haven't listened to it with Tony East, go back. It is a great breakdown of Miles Turner and Buddy Hield and what Indy is thinking in potentially trading them. You mentioned the Utah flotsam and jetsam. And then the other one is whatever is behind door number three once the season begins or near the trade deadline or whatever it is, where you're just going to wait and see if you can do something better because something better might come along. You don't know.
Yeah. And in breaking down the flotsam and jetsam from Utah, if you end up going with the Miles Turner Buddy Hield deal with Indiana, presume, you know, that is almost certainly going to cost you both first round picks. I think it is assumed that that would end up basically the Lakers pushing in every remaining chip they have. Some combination with Utah, I think it is theoretically possible that the Lakers could end up keeping at least one pick, in part because depending on the deal that they make, it might not be enough coming back from Utah that it would require that. There's also, too, like there's a varying degree of contracts and contract lengths that could be theoretically coming back. And, you know, for example, Jordan Clarkson has a $14 million trade option into 23-24 that I think...
A player option or team option, you said?
Player option that I think he's going to end up picking up. Mike Conley, he's only partially guaranteed for 23-24, but it's like $14 or $15 million. So
you
that's not insignificant.
No,
that
you eat a lot of money.
Right. And then, you know, Bojan Bogdanović is just 1 year remaining. Rudy Gay is an expiring. Jared Vanderbilt has $5 million for 23-24. And then Malik Beasley, $15 million for this season, $16 million that's a club option for the following year. Also, the really weird complication, Brian, with Malik Beasley. For those who did not know, and I actually did not know this because this is just a world that you and I don't keep up with, but Malik Beasley was dating Scottie Pippen Jr.'s mother for a little while. Larsa Pippen, the real Housewives star. I did not know this. Malik Beasley was dating her while still married to his wife.
Rooting for a scenario in which Malik Beasley is traded to the Lakers, works it out with Scottie Pippen Jr.'s mother, and becomes Scottie Pippen Jr.'s stepdad.
Well, they've long since broken up.
No, but they could reconcile is my point. I mean, sometimes love just takes time.
Sure.
People talk about like, oh my God, wouldn't it be amazing if LeBron and Bronny played together, first father-son combination? I don't know if we've had a lot of stepdad and stepson combinations. That's just one little step away, no pun intended, that I think is equally inspirational in many ways, and I am here for it.
Yeah, I mean, you thought Russell Westbrook and Patrick Beverley was potentially awkward. I think, dude, you were with my mom for a while. I think that trumps.
That puts the whole, like, remember the whole Delonte West thing a long time ago? Like,
mm-hmm. Rumor. Yeah, that was, we should that say was, rumor.
Right, rumor. Right, exactly. Like, rumor. But like, that was just a rumor. And it was like, this would be like on paper. Like,
no, Malik Beasley has apologized via social media because that's where everybody goes to reconcile their relationships. He and his wife did not reconcile. But so there's that little wrinkle.
There's that. It's something to look forward to. Last thing on this, because I will.
It means Scottie Pippen Jr. is never getting called up for a year.
I learned it from watching you, Dad. I learned it from watching you. Do you get the impression, you know, they've already done one deal with Utah to take away a piece that I'm sure Utah knew wasn't going to be around for very long. If there was something bigger to be done, look, it's possible that Utah was waiting just because, you know, you never know, you might need the Westbrook piece to facilitate something or whatever.
Or one of these other supporting guys.
Right. So like, do you believe that the fact that the Lakers have already made a deal with Utah that did not involve Westbrook makes it less likely that Utah is interested currently in trading for Westbrook now to send stuff back? Do you think one, hold your answer, but like, do you think one has anything to do with the other? Because the issue I'm getting at here is one I think you have been really big pointing out on with the Indiana deal. It's that there's this sort of assumption that the Lakers would or wouldn't add something, would or wouldn't include something, but it may just be that the other team doesn't want what the Lakers have. So let's talk about that next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar Puffs, they are sweeping the nation. And as always, because they never rest on their laurels, there's a new flavor. It's cookie dough chunk puffs. It's got a light, chewy texture, real cookie dough chunks. And as always, covered in 100% real chocolate. It is all of the joy, the decadence of eating cookie dough without the hassle of making it, without the hassle of cleaning it up.
They're perfect.
Oh, yeah. They're absolutely perfect. And they're healthy for you. Only 160 calories in these cookie dough chunk puffs with a whopping 15 grams of protein in them. And what's awesome about these cookie dough chunk puffs and all the Built Bar puffs, all the Built Bar bars, is they are made with the collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently, provides tons of health benefits. You can order a box for yourself and the family. It's a perfect treat. You can ditch the calories, the fat, the sugar. Grab yourself a Built Bar. Go to Built.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON15. Get 15% off your order. Again, promo code LOCKEDON15. 15% off at Built.com.
Okay, so the question I was asking is do you think that a trade is more or less or equally likely between the Lakers and Utah for the fact that the Mitchell deal is done? The Lakers have already made a transaction with Utah that didn't include all these other things or whatever, and now it's sort of flotsam and jetsam time. Do you think one has anything to do with the other, influences the other? Could they end up making a second deal just as likely that would ultimately move Westbrook, because that's the only thing really that could happen from the Lakers?
I mean, I guess it's somewhat less likely in the sense that other teams around the league may become more interested in individual deals for some of these
Right, and Utah can just break them up, and Bogdanovich, for example, could probably have enough value that you don't need to Russell Westbrook to get value for.
Right, the Suns are reportedly interested in Bogdanovich. I'm sure other teams around the league are. I don't know if it necessarily is more or less likely in the sense of any connection point or domino falling from the Mitchell deal and where the Lakers had been connected to them. I'm not sure one really has much to do with the other.
It occurred to me as we were talking, sort of setting up, and I was sort of thinking through this thing. I was like, my initial instinct was what you're saying. Like, I'm not sure one really has to do with the other than freeing up the rest of the league, like you say. It's a great point. It occurred to me, I was like, I wonder if this indicates at all that Utah just doesn't want to take on the Westbrook deal and doesn't feel like they need to do the kind of rebuild that they want. Unless it's for the worst pieces of that, trade, like Mike Conley, who is, I think, dangerous. I love Mike Conley, but he's sort of dangerously close to falling off, the proverbial cliff. And, some of the other lesser people that they might be wanting to try to get rid of, in which case, sure, I'd trade him for Russell Westbrook, but I wouldn't want to include a pick.
Well, certainly not two picks.
Definitely not two. But I'm not even sure I'd really be that interested in trading a pick for to move off Westbrook to get Conley and Jordan Clarkson, for example, because that doesn't move the needle really at all for the
league. Agree. I mean, if you're not getting some type of size coming back, whether it's Bogdanovich, whether it's Jared Vanderbilt, if you're just adding more guards to a roster that's already heavy on guards, and on top of it, already heavy on scoring type guards like Jordan Clarkson.
They and got little plenty. Guards. Like, right. I mean, how many teeny people? Mike Conley, Pat Bev, and Kendrick Nunn? A lot of little people.
Conley is a better outside shooter more established outside shooter than some of the other guys they have there. But, his defense is starting to fall off more. He's becoming much more of a health risk. He's, recency bias, but he's coming off an awful playoffs.
Yeah, and just really struggling to finish at the rim. Like, there's just a lot of warning signs with the guy who both of us are huge fans of, but like, this comes for everybody, particularly little guards.
Yeah, and I mean, it's the biggest advantage that I've always thought about with these potential Utah combinations is that you could maybe hang on to one of your picks and use that for a future deal in a continual effort to try to improve the team. And if you take on enough of Utah's bad money, you can make that part of the services. You're basically cleaning their books. But again, you want to make sure you're actually improving the roster. And, the more this stuff has come up, and this is something that you had mentioned, I've been on 710 ESPN in Los Angeles the whole week, and this was a continual topic of discussion. And one thing that I've noticed, this idea of what's worth it for the Lakers, like how good a trade needs to be, what's the baseline? And this idea of a deal needing to put the Lakers in contention, like, you know, putting them back really in the, I don't know, front runner mix. Otherwise, it's not really worth it, you know, in part because what does it really do for them to be a 4 or 5 seed? But also, this isn't what the Lakers play for. This isn't what you have LeBron there for. And I understand that ethos, Brian, but you also have to be realistic about this. And the Lakers are not a team that is one move away. Like, unless that move is you are bringing in Giannis, they are not one move away. If the ceiling is good, legit good, like you are a legit playoff team again. Like, for example, I think if the Lakers traded both picks for Miles Turner and Buddy Hield, they will be a legit playoff team. I think they
top
will
six.
Be.
You're not, you mean out of the play-in?
Yeah, I think they will be a legit playoff team. I think they will be health assumed for LeBron and AD and Miles Turner. I think they will be a solid 4 or 5 team, 4 or 5 seed with the potential to maybe grow further, or if nothing else, be in a position where they could capitalize if some other teams have some bad breaks.
Mm-hmm.
And does that make them a front runner to win a championship? No. Does it make it likely to win a championship? No. But it makes them a good team. It makes them credible. And if credible is not a good enough potential ceiling, then I'm really wondering what you're expecting from any deal they could make over the next couple of years. Everybody involved needs to, I think, sort of recalibrate the way we think about the Lakers.
I think you're talking about, do we have a 0% chance if we make this deal? Do we have a 10% chance? Do we have a 15% chance? Being a legit 6th seed with a 0% chance of like realistically winning a title, I think that is a legitimate question. You say, is this worth it? Because we're not, you know, we can't move the needle. We are stuck. But like, you're right. That releases a whole other series of questions, most of which are, what the hell are we doing for the next 2.5 years? Because with LeBron and AD around, which they're going to be, presumably, unless the Lakers now make transactions to keep that from happening, they're not going to be bad enough, if those guys are healthy, to be terrible. And if they're, and even if they were, and maybe we'll get to this in the next segment, they don't own their picks. So like, being terrible doesn't do them any good anyway. And so I think for me, the point of what you're getting at is kind of twofold. And I think there's two things that I think are really important for people to consider out of this. That one is a practical thing, and one is a conceptual kind of ethos sort of thing. And so maybe we'll break that down next. Okay, this is actually kind of related, Andy, to Genie Bus. I was talking to Eddie Johnson and Amin El Hassan on Sirius XM Radio. Was this over the weekend, I believe it was? And the subject of tanking came up. And Genie basically, for all intents and purposes, we're never going to do that. We are always going to try to field a competitive team. We owe it to our fans. We owe it to people to put on a good product, and we will not tank seasons. And we will not, you know, especially as it's defined by a lot of people, sort of intentionally go out and try to lose games to improve their draft position. And what you're talking about kind of got me thinking about these comments, because my first reaction was, they can't tank. You can only tank if you own and control your own draft picks. And the Lakers can't. And so they could finish with the worst record in the league for the next 3 or 4 or 5 years and net nothing from that, because New Orleans has the ability, for all intents and purposes, to undo any good that would do. So the Lakers have very strange, they have no incentive structure to try to tank. And that puts them in a really weird position to some degree to the thing that you're talking about. Because the only way they can sort of try to, you know, quote unquote tank or do it is to just blow it up and hope other teams suck. That's it. That's all they can do.
Yeah.
And so I find that aspect of this to be kind of fascinating, that there is no tanking path for the Lakers just from a practical standpoint. When people talk about, well, how do we blow this up, or should we blow it up, or what are we doing here? They've taken that option off the table. I get what Jeannie's getting at, but it's not even a choice that they can make for the next three or four years.
Well, I mean, they can.
The way that people think about it, which is maximizing our own draft pick.
Right. I mean, they can in the sense that you would trade LeBron, trade AD. I mean, this is the way they'd go about doing it.
Right.
And you would try to regain more draft capital that you completely control. In certain respects, what I think Jeannie's talking about is we're not also going to ever rebuild. Like, we're not going to put ourselves through a true rebuild. I mean, we saw that during the Kobe's Achilles seasons, where they really had no business trying to feign competitiveness, you know, being faux competitive. But they felt like as long as Kobe's on the roster, we have to be chasing eight seeds. And, you know, thankfully, their plans kept falling apart and they fell ass backward
really
in the bad lottery
at it. They were bad at it. It didn't matter.
The Lakers have these options with trade, you know, theoretically, these options with Indiana or with Utah. You know, there's also the idea of, if you don't like either of them, hanging on to Russell Westbrook, playing it out this season, trying to make the best of it, trying to be as competitive as possible, and clear his money off the books, get about $30 million in cap space, which won't get you a max player, but maybe gets you better role players.
Could clear that.
Could.
It doesn't automatically, but it could. The Lakers could open up, you know, some money for certainly.
You could open about $30 million potentially and, you know, maybe use that on a couple high-end role players. They still have their picks, you know, all that stuff. But, you know, that puts them in a position where you are resetting yourself yet one more time, which likely also the likelihood of you landing on an instant contender through that approach is pretty low too. Maybe you can put yourself in a position of being a solid playoff contender, but it's something that I think everybody just needs to be thinking about. This idea of front runner status and the way people often think about that championship ethos with the Lakers, particularly if you have LeBron on this team, because there's always that narrative of, you can't, if you've got LeBron and he's still playing at a high level, you know, you can't waste having him here. The truth is, they may have already made that decision. It may have already happened when they made the Russell Westbrook deal. So then you have to think about, is being a good team, a legitimately good team,
putting a good product on the floor, which is what Jeannie's talking about. We owe it to our fans to put a good product on the floor.
Is that good?
Which they have not been for all but
one and a half,
really, of the last nine seasons. But like, you look at the West, and even after that, and this is all with the caveats, and I'm not putting words in your mouth here. Like, all of this is, LeBron's got to stay healthy.
Of course.
AD's got to, there's still a lot of stuff that needs to happen. But, you know, the Clippers, the Warriors, the Mavericks, Denver, Memphis, those are five teams that I think, barring something weird, barring injuries, are five of the own. So you're in there. Like, it's still not a given, because now you're completely, depending on how good you think Minnesota is, I guess maybe depending on how good you think Dallas is. But I would certainly say the Clippers, Golden State, Denver, and Memphis, short of bad things happening to them, are locks for the, you know, somewhere in that top five. And then you start, then the Lakers kind of probably fall into that next tier.
Yeah.
So I'm just of the mind that because you don't control really your own future, you have two choices. You can either make the best deal that you think you can get, and, you know, there is always the chance that something better could come along for your two picks than what you have now. I tend to think that we are overvaluing what those will get you. When you look around and, you know, you use the Mitchell deal as a template, you use the Gobert deal as a template. Some people think that Cleveland really didn't give up that much or whatever to, you know, from a draft pick standpoint. There was a three, I believe it was, for Mitchell.
Three.
And whatever, but they also gave up their first round pick this year, which is a little like giving a fourth. And also gave them, signed and traded a really good young player. You look at the Gobert haul. Colin Sexton, thank you. Yeah, for people who didn't see it. The Lakers can't and will not be able to offer anything like that. And so I just feel like this is, I think the Indiana deal plus or minus 10% is probably as good as you're going to do if you are insistent on trying to trade Russell Westbrook as part of it, because he costs you one of your picks. And if that's the best you can do, I would do it, because the only other reasonable alternative is to blow it up. And you can't blow it up because you just re-signed LeBron. I mean, you literally can't, because you can't trade him. So I would do it. Or I would do something if I saw something that came along that was somewhere in that ballpark. And I think that's where they are.
Yeah, I think too, like, before we go on this, just there's, you hear a lot of people say that, LeBron signed this extension, and they made promises to LeBron. Like, LeBron is expecting something because he gave them that commitment. Look, LeBron's knew what he was signing up for.
Yes.
When he signed that extension. Like, he's not stupid. He knows what their assets were. He knows the lack of flexibility and avenues that they have. And, I'm not saying he doesn't care about winning, because I do think he cares.
Yeah.
Clearly not the number one priority.
Couldn't have been.
When he signed this extension, like winning a championship, because he knows this team was not in a position to do it. I think LeBron's expectation is just do your best to make this team better. Don't do anything stupid.
They already did the stupid thing, and everybody knows it.
And it was
the stupid thing has been done.
It was a stupid idea that he pushed for.
Yes, and that everybody agreed to, and you can't undo it with, pixie dust. Like, this is the situation they're in. Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you can go to see the show. Please keep subscribing there. We're pushing 8,000, getting very close to 8K. Yes.
Thank you.
Which is quite a milestone that we are very excited about. Love the community that's developing there of regular commenters and stuff. Please leave questions. It's a great time to leave questions on the YouTube channel, which we can use on the show throughout September as we start to get closer to training camp. And we'll keep an eye on everything that's going on with the trade market. We'll see what happens, and we'll see everybody next time.